Reinick Pruitt versus Westfall.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
May it please the court, my name is Bergen Shoemaker, and I represent the appellant, Aaron Reinick Pruitt, in the case before the court today. This case, as the court is aware, concerns my client's 5-year-old son, Coben. The district court in Dawson County entered a decree in March of this year awarding Coben's mother, Keisha, sole physical custody, joint legal custody, as well as entering other orders regarding daycare expenses, child support, and the like. We disagree with all of those orders that the court entered, and so I'll address as many of those issues as we have time for today, but of course, unless the court has a preference, I'd like to start with the issue of physical custody. As the court is aware, both statute and case law require that the district courts engage in a best interest analysis when determining custody and parenting time. The district court in this case did so and explained its findings in its March 30th decree. However, many of the findings that the court makes directly contradict the evidence that was offered at trial. So with that being said, I think it's important to note that the trial in this case occurred over the course of 2 days. The first day was in September of 2017, the second day was in December of 2017, and then the district court finally entered its decree on March 30th of 2018, which was over 6 months after the first day of the trial. So turning to the individual factors that are to be considered in the best interest analysis, one of those factors is credible evidence of abuse. And the court weighed that factor in Keisha's favor, finding that there was evidence that my client engaged in verbal and emotional abuse in the presence of the child. However, if the court turns to Nebraska Revised Statute 43-29-22, we don't believe that the evidence that was offered amounts to abuse. And my client disputed the testimony that was offered by Keisha and her mother at trial. His position was that that had never happened. And then it's also important to note that Keisha's testimony regarding that incident directly contradicted her mother's testimony. Her mother testified that she received a phone call from Keisha and she was crying and she could hear the kids, both Coben and Keisha's older daughter, crying in the background. But when Keisha got on the stand to testify, she stated that Coben was napping, and he was 3 months old at the time, and that Alexis was in her bedroom playing. And so the evidence is all over the place regarding that.
Well, and in general, there was a lot of discrepancy between your client and the mother.
Right.
Did the trial court make any credibility findings in its decree?
Yes, the trial court did make credibility findings, and I believe that the court included that under the moral fitness of the parents, that analysis, as well as the attitude and stability of each parent. And basically, the concern that the district court discussed was relating back to the initial jurisdiction issue with Keisha living in Colorado and my client living in Nebraska. And at the time of the hearing, the initial hearing on temporary custody and jurisdiction, my client, as well as his mother, submitted affidavits that basically said that the child had been living in Nebraska for approximately a month and then in Colorado for a month. And so at the trial, he did testify that, yes, sometimes Coben was in the state of Nebraska for 8 weeks with him. Sometimes he was here for 3 weeks with him. Sometimes it was only over a weekend. It just really went back and forth. They did not have a set parenting plan. And so he explained, as did his mother at the trial, that those discrepancies were not lies. He was not trying to mislead the court whatsoever. All he was doing is basically overgeneralizing how often Coben was in Nebraska and how often he was in Nebraska. But at the end of the day, he was sharing equal time in both places. And so I think that the court really focused on that discrepancy far too much and failed to look at the bigger picture here. And that's what really is in Coben's best interest. So the court found that the moral fitness of the parents, that factor weighed in Keisha's favor, as well as the attitude and stability, and it considered that discrepancy in the testimony in both of those factors. I think that was the discretion of the court. Because when we really look at the attitude and stability of the parties, what we have is that Keisha has moved 7 times over the last 4 years. And within that same time period, she had had 8 different jobs. There was no evidence like that submitted on behalf of my client or against my client. Instead, what you had with my client was a very stable marriage, a positive marriage. He's lived in the same house for 4 years. He's self-employed and has maintained that positive employment for several years. And he's taking the kid to preschool and daycare on time every morning. He's picking him up on time every night. And there's routine, and there's structure, and there's so much stability that should have weighed in his favor, not Keisha's.
Counsel, Keisha was remarried by the time of trial, correct?
She was.
To Justin Westfall,
to Justin Westfall, yes.
Were they separated at the time of trial, or were they separated in a period of time close in time in there, do you recall?
At the time of trial, it appeared that they were together. However, there was testimony from Keisha that stated that her marriage had been on the rocks with Justin and that she had actually called my client's parents and asked them to help her find a home mm-hmm. back in the state of Nebraska so that she could move back and be closer to them.
Was there anything in the record with regard to Justin's criminal past other than just oral testimony in terms of that specific charge for sexual assault of a minor and his plea and the like? How was that in the record?
As far as physical evidence, there was not anything offered. However, Justin did admit that he had been convicted of contributing to the delinquency of a minor, and he had also been convicted of child neglect. And that's another big issue that I'd like to draw the court's attention to, is that the court essentially swept the fact under the rug that Keisha and Justin, her husband, had been convicted of child abuse and neglect regarding an incident that happened with Coben, the child in question here. And that happened in 2015, and the sentencing order was in fact received into evidence. And so Nebraska Revised Statute 43-29-32 states that if evidence shows that a parent has committed child abuse or neglect, limits shall be imposed that are reasonably calculated to protect the child, and the court shall not order legal or physical custody be given to that parent without making special written findings that the child can be protected. That same statute also states that that parent who committed the child abuse or neglect has the burden of proving custody or parenting time will not endanger the child. The court didn't make specific written findings that would align with the statute, and Keisha certainly did not meet the burden that the statute requires to provide that the child is safe in her care.
Can you clarify, was she convicted of child abuse or contributing to the delinquency of a minor?
Keisha herself was convicted of child abuse and neglect in Colorado, and the sentencing order is in the record.
And that's the incident when she was at work and her husband, Justin, was asleep and the children went outside.
Correct. And so I think what the court did there the court really failed to give that the attention that it deserved and justified that by saying, well, Keisha wasn't the primary parent responsible for the children at that time, but I don't think that is a good position to take. Regardless of whether she's home or not, she's responsible for the children when they are in her care. And so that's a big issue that the court failed to address. Another issue that the court failed to address accurately is the general health, welfare, and social behavior of the child. The court weighed that factor equally in both parties' favor. However, my client is the only parent who has ever taken Coben to the dentist, and he's the only parent that has ever taken Coben to the eye doctor. And Coben has vision impairments that require the attention of an eye doctor. And so the evidence simply did not support the district court's finding that should weigh equally in both parents' favor. As far as the parent's capacity to provide for physical care and educational needs, my client testified that Keisha had brought Coben in wrong seasonal clothes, clothes that didn't fit him, and even his sister's clothes. So that was a big concern that the court, again, just really failed to address. Additionally, my client had concerns, and even Keisha's witnesses testified that Coben is developmentally delayed. And so it wasn't until after the first day of trial that Keisha decided that she was going to enroll Coben in preschool. My client had him in preschool for quite a long period of time before the trial, but after she was scrutinized on day one of trial, she decided that she was going to get him into school. So I think for all of those reasons, the court erred, and Coben should have been placed in the physical care and custody of my client, and my client also should have been awarded sole legal custody. And then obviously the child support and daycare expenses and everything would follow that. So unless the court has any questions. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Case is submitted, and you are free to go.